Go with me, if you would, back to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Don't you love this story? There's some stories that as soon as you realize where we are, it's just, oh man. You don't even really have to preach it. You just read it. There's a song that most every person knows. Most every person in this country anyway. But most of the world. It says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." You know, when God reveals to us what absolute wretches we are, that's the moment that grace becomes amazing. You know that? When God reveals to us how absolutely wretched we are, that's when grace becomes amazing. Absolutely amazing. That God would show grace to such a wretch like me, a wretched person. A wretched person. We're about to see this story of this woman named Rahab, and the scripture makes no bones about it. She was a wretched person. She was a harlot. Something happened, though, to her. Something happened in her, and something happened for her, and it's called salvation. It's called salvation. I believe after we look at this, number one, we're going to relate to this woman. Number two, I believe we're going to rejoice with this woman. And number three, I believe we're going to find hope the exact same way she found hope. The exact same way. I titled this message, "A Harlot's Hope." A Harlot's Hope. Now, look with me at verse 10. Joshua 2, verse 10. She said, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt." We've heard all about it. We've heard all about it. This nation of people, this entire nation of people were slaves to another nation of people for 430 years. God's people, Israel, were slaves to the Egyptians for 430 years. And you know that information got out. That is almost twice as long as this nation has been a country. And it feels like this nation's been a country a long time. So you know that information got out. That was common knowledge. The Israel, they're all the slaves of the Egyptians. They're all bound in Egypt. Well, then Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, "God Almighty says, let my people go." And all of these great plagues came on Egypt. And you know that got out. Those were amazing plagues. You know that that was common knowledge. And then the day came that God delivered His people. They literally walked right out of Egypt. They could not for 430 years. They were under hard bondage, hard taskmasters. They were beaten. And then one day they just walked out. And the Egyptians started giving them all their stuff. Here's some gold. You might need that. He just walked out. Pharaoh went after him with his army, though. God opened up the Red Sea, amazingly dried the ground, led all of his people safely across, and then closed up the sea on the Egyptians. Killed every single one of them. Killed every single one of them. After that, you know, people started asking, where's Pharaoh's army? What happened to that army? All those men, all those chariots, where are they? God killed them. I mean, God killed them. What if God killed an entire nation's army today? Men would not be saying God killed them. I guarantee you that. They'd say, oh man, they were so unlucky. But I tell you what really happened. God killed them. God closed the sea on them, drowned them in the sea. Well, after that, Israel continued traveling on their journey. And they came up to another country. They came up on another nation. So Moses sent a messenger to the king of that nation. You can read about all this in Numbers 21. Moses sent a message to this king, and this king's name was Sihon. And Moses said, let us pass through your land. Let us pass right through it. We won't take anything out of your fields. We won't take anything out of your vineyards. We won't drink any water out of your wells. We will literally stay on the highway and pass right through your borders. And Sihon said, nope. So Sihon got his army together and he went out to meet Israel face to face. And God said, start killing them. And they did. They slew them with the edge of the sword. They smote every single one of them, and then they took all the land. They said, we won't touch it. We'll pass right through and be gone. They took it all. They killed them all and took it all. Then they continued on their way, and this king named Og, they weren't even passing through his land. He just heard about it all, and he decided he wanted to go pick a fight with them. So he brought his army up, and God told Moses, fear him not. I've delivered him into your hand and all his people and all his land. He said, you're going to do the same thing to him you did to Sihon. So Moses told all of Israel, start killing him. And Israel started slaying with the sword, and they did not stop until there was none left alive. That's what it says. As these accounts became known, you know this became known. Men are bringing their armies out and gone. Armies come out, gone. Israel's passing through these cities and it's wiped out. Gone. As these things became known and word started to spread, city after city, it was like a map. You could see where they're going. You heard what happened to that city, and then you heard what happened to the next city. And it became pretty clear Israel's headed to the Jordan River. We can see they are coming this way. They are coming straight towards Jericho. God, in all of His purpose, God, in all of His glory, in all of His victory, is coming right through here. And this sinful woman knew that. She had heard about this. And she knew the God who holds life and death in the palm of His hand is coming to this city. And I feel like getting ahead of myself right now. That same God is coming to this city. I'm telling you, he's coming to Kingsport. Oh, gentle Jesus, meek and mild is coming. I'm telling you, God is coming. God is coming. Now look with me at verse 1. Joshua 2 verse 1 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." You talk about the good providence of God Almighty. They came straight to this harlot's house and lodged there. Joshua, the captain of the host, the one who represents the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is ordering and controlling this whole thing, he sent two servants, righteousness and peace, grace and mercy. I want you to go into this land. You go spy out what I'm about to take and conquer. And they came straight into that sinful harlot's house named Rahab. And again, I feel like getting ahead of myself. This is us. This is our story. And when God sent His servants straight to that sinner, it struck fear in her. She had heard some things. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This woman realized, they're here. They're here. We've been here and He's coming. They're coming. They are here. God is here. He is on to us. He has found us out. Verse 2 says, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.'" They said, "Turn those men over. They're here to kill us." But do you know what God had convinced Rahab of? Through what she had heard, she was convinced of this. See if you can relate to this woman. She was convinced, we're dead anyway. You can account us as dead men and women. If God has purposed to take this land, He's taken it. And if I try to resist His will, then He's just going to kill me with the rest of them. Isn't that right? I have one need in this matter. I have one hope in this matter. Verse 4 says, "And the woman took the two men." God's servant. God's message. And it says she hid them. She hid them. "And said thus," she told the king of Jericho, "'There came men unto me, but I knew not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate." You know what? She just flat out lied. Didn't she? She just flat out lied. There's no hiding it. She is a sinner. This woman is a sinner. Everything she tries to do, sin is mixed with all of it. Isn't that right? They were about to take away from her, though, the only hope she had. She could not let that happen. When this hope comes, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence have to take it by force. They have to. They have to. She had one hope. She had one need. At all cost, she had to have it. Can you say the same thing? Jacob could. You remember when Jacob went to Isaac to get that birthright blessing? He lied, didn't he? He had to have it at all cost. David went to God's priest for bread, and he lied, didn't he? He had to have it. He had to have it. Rahab knew her life was on the line here. Her life was on the line. So she lied to the king of Jericho. And she hid God's men. And she bowed to God's will and God's purpose. Whatever God is doing. Oh, dear Lord, put me on the side of the Lord my God. Well, she went and laid down, and the men were still hiding on the roof. And you think about this. You think about this story. She started thinking about the reality of the fact that God is coming. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Do you ever think about the reality? You know, the trump is going to resound. The Lord is going to descend. Have you ever thought about that? You know, here we are marrying and giving in marriage and life is good and let's just keep on rolling. And I'm telling you, God is coming. God is coming. And here she is laying there thinking, God is coming. What's going to happen to this place? What is going to happen to this place? What's going to happen to my loved ones? The fear of the Lord set into her. She started realizing every soul in this city is going to have to deal with this God. I realize that from time to time. It makes me want to pay our money to get on another radio station. Every soul in this city is going to have to deal with this God. He is coming. He is coming. Rahab was laying there thinking, I don't have a hope. I'm not one of his people. And of all people, I'm the harlot. If he saves anybody, it's not going to be me. I'm the harlot in town. This is what the woman knew. God's men are in my house right now. They may not ever be again. They may not ever be again, but they're here right now. My only hope is to go right now and beg them for mercy. That's my only hope. They may say no. They might say no, but if I don't beg, I know there's no hope for me. It sunk into her heart that today is the day of salvation. When the fear of the Lord comes to a sinner, that'll sink in. I mean right now. So this woman got up out of her bed. She went up to that roof. Verse 8 says, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, Our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Your God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, He is God. And that is crystal clear when a sinner hears. He is the sovereign God. He is going to do as He will with whom He will. Won't you let God, every sinner who truly sees God says, "Fooey on that." He's going to do what He will with whom He will. This woman said, "I know that. I've heard the truth. I bow to it. I realize this is my only hope. I'm going to beg this almighty sovereign God for mercy. I'm going to beg Him to have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me." Verse 12. "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Because I fear this God, and because outside of His mercy I have no hope, I'm begging, please spare my father, spare my mother, spare my brethren, my sisters, all that they have. Please deliver our lives from death. Please." Once a sinner sees this sovereign God, that is what he will start crying. "Lord, please, please, please save my father. I'm not even going to pretend that I have something to offer you. I have something to give you. Please just save my father, save my mother, save my brethren. All the little ones they have, I see it. I see the truth. I see the destruction of this place. Please." Verse 14. "And the men answered her, God's servants, righteousness and peace, grace and mercy, answered her, our life for yours." We'll be your surety. "If you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, we will deal kindly and truly with you." And we're going to do it for mercy's sake. This is a God of vengeance. There's one God. There's not multiple gods. There's one God. And He is a God of vengeance. He is a God of wrath. He is a God of sovereignty. But He is a God of mercy. Oh, He is. This is today's warning. He is still taking cities. Still. And He's coming through in all of His wrath. But this right here is a God of mercy. Verse 15. "Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear." They said, "You can count on this oath. You can take this covenant to the bank. As the God of truth liveth, it will be upheld. You have our word. And they said, this is your token. Verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. They said, this red way of deliverance, this bright red line of escape, they said, put this in your window. Lift it up for everybody to see. They didn't say, find you a box in the corner and you hide this. You find you a bushel and you hide it under a bushel. No, they said, claim it. Put it in your window. Confess it. Cling to it. Holler it to everybody. What does that scarlet line represent for harlots like you and me? The blood of Jesus Christ. That scarlet red way of deliverance, the only hope that any sinner has is for that blood to be bound in the window of the heart. Oh, may everybody see it. They said, this is your token. This is your surety. This is your hope. This is your hope. You cling to this scarlet line. Do not let it out of your sight. Verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window that thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. They said the only safe place to be is in the house that has this scarlet line. That's it. That house is Jesus Christ. This is still God's message for His people. God is coming to this city. The only safe place to be is in Jesus Christ. That's it. They said, when we come through, if you or any member of your family is found outside of this house, they will die and we're going to be guiltless in killing them. But they said in verse 19, whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head if any hand be upon him. Here's what it all boils down to. The soul that is outside of the blood of Jesus Christ is going to die in his sins. But the soul that is inside the blood of Jesus Christ has the promise of God Almighty of eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God Almighty said, when I see the blood of my Son, when I see that scarlet line, I will pass over you. Verse 20, if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. That means amen. And she sent them away and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window immediately. She said, you go hide for 3 days. She didn't wait 3 days. As soon as they turned around, she started tying the line in the window. Verse 21, she said, according to your word, so be it. She sent them away and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Well, I wonder what happened. I wonder if the promise held true. I wonder if God's covenant token saved them. I wonder if it did. Go with me over to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 12 says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns went before the ark, of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Verse 20 says, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Oh, no. Oh, no. Hold your place right here and go back to chapter 2. And look at verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. When God gave them the city, the trump of God sounded. The people of God shouted, and the entire wall of Jericho fell down flat, except for one spot. There was one little sliver of wall left standing. It had a red cord hanging down from it. Now go back to chapter 6 and look at verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You know, I thought about all of them waiting in that house. Can you picture all of them inside that house? Waiting, what they must have experienced, what they must have felt as they sat there. Can you imagine the fear? Can you imagine the fear of looking out the window and there is the entire nation of Israel, and they walk around that wall one day And then here they come the next day, and they walk around that wall the next day. 7 days. On the seventh day, they do it seven times. I can see Rahab, and especially her dad. I know how dads are. I can see her dad constantly going to that window, checking the rope. Can't you see that? Constantly going back to that rope. Is it still tight? Still tight. I can see the whole family sitting Rahab down and saying, "Now, Rahab, you tell us what they said again, and don't you lie to us. You better tell me the truth." I mean, you had better tell us the truth. You tell us what God's men said again. You tell us one more time what God's men told you. It all hinges on this scarlet line, right? Isn't that what they said? We can put all of our hope in this scarlet line. Is that what they said? On the seventh day, Israel marched around that city seven times. I can see them waving that line from the window. Do you see this line? Do you remember the line? We're pleading the line. May God be merciful to us for the line's sake. This is our hope. This is our only hope. Please, we know. But we have a line. Here they sit, and all of a sudden they heard the trump of God. They heard the shout. They felt the wall start crumbling down. And they all cried, "Lord, save us!" And He did. As soon as that rumble died down, they looked over at the window. And right there hanging on that scarlet line were God's two servants. Joshua said, "Go get them." Mercy and grace hung right there on that line. And they looked at every soul in that house and they said, "Come with us." And every soul in that house laid hold of the scarlet line and escaped. Every soul escaped the wrath to come through that scarlet line. In verse 25, right here in chapter 6, says, "Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day." What does it mean by that? It means she is in the beautiful city of God right now. She's dwelling there unto this day. What it means is the salvation of God is salvation indeed. Eternal life in the blood of Christ is eternal life indeed. Cling to the line. Cling to the blood of Jesus Christ. Make all your hope being found in Him. I mean all of it. Tell me again what God's man said. Did He say it all hinged on this? Make all of it your hope, and He'll save you. He said, "You live and believe in Me, and you'll never die. I promise." That's God's token, and that's His promise to us. Let's cling to it, okay? Let's cling to it. Cling to the cross, the Christ of the cross. Okay, let's all stand together.